Good morning. Hey, welcome. Thanks for joining me this morning. I trust that you were all at the party, so I'm actually surprised to see a full room here. Thank you very much for joining me. So, we are gonna look at some new cool stuff that we have for you guys in Visual Studio for building websites. And you've already seen a lot of stuff in the keynote. I trust that a lot of you saw Hanselman show some cool stuff yesterday. There will not be any overlap really here. So it's not gonna be a repeat of what you've already seen. We're gonna look at some other stuff and we were gonna go deep on some of these new features. So basically, let's go and look at some of the updated features. I just wanna show you briefly some of the cool new things that are in the box. They're just like improvements, but I think you should see them because even though you probably already have downloaded and tried to use VS 2013, you might not have noticed these things. Then we're gonna go deep on the new HTML editor. This is really cool. We're gonna talk about Web Essentials. How many people here know or use Web Essentials? Nice, okay. And then finally, browser link. There was a big storm on Twitter with the whole browser link stuff. It seems like you guys were really interested in that. So are you here for browser link, or is that the big draw here? It's pretty cool, huh, so far? Okay. Quiet. So before we look at Visual Studio 2013, I thought I'd do something that I don't think we've done before, and that is just to tell you that with 2013, it is now time to say goodbye to a few good old friends of ours. The Cassini web server and front page extensions are no longer in the product. You will be missed. Maybe not. But we've all used them, and they were great for their time. But IIS Express has now taken over. It's the default for everything in ASP.NET right now in 2013. And you can no longer publish using front page extensions. So they're now gone. I'm sorry. All right. So let's demo, shall we? All right. Okay, so let me take you through a few of the updates that we've been doing. So let's start in the web config. We've actually had a capability for quite a while in the web config to control URL rewrites on a web server level. So like not on the ASP.NET level, but on the IIS level or IIS Express. But we know that a lot of people don't use it because we've never had IntelliSense for it. So let me just show you that finally we have IntelliSense for URL rewrites. And here you can do some really, really cool stuff. So I know this is a small feature, but it's going to be huge. If you have not played with URL rewrites, you'll be amazed at what it can do. So actually the way that this happened was one of you guys, an ASP.NET developer, started tweeting us and emailing us, hey, we need this IntelliSense. And finally I was like, okay, I'm going to write this IntelliSense, but then you have to test it. Right? And he did. So thank you, Lars, for finally being persistent and insisting on this IntelliSense in here. Let me just show you one thing that you probably did not know, even though you might know URL rewrites. We can actually change the HTML that's being sent out from ASP.NET, we can actually modify that in the web config like this. So let's say you want to add Google Analytics to your page. You don't have to change your web app to do that. You can do that just here in the web config. So here I have just a very small thing. I'm trying to find the end body tag. So this here is just an entity, right? So XML friendly way looks like this. So find the end body tag and then rewrite that body tag to contain some script, some analytics code, and then closing the body tag here. So you can actually do this stuff all in web config, all on the server, not in ASP.NET, but on the server, very low level, really, really cool stuff. All right, JavaScript. You either hate it or love it, right? So we had a brand new JavaScript editor in Visual Studio 2012. And it was good. It was really, really good. We spent a lot of time working on IntelliSense. The entire editor gets all its validation and IntelliSense from the IE10 Chakra JavaScript engine. It actually runs all your code. It's really sweet. And here in 2013, we have improved the experience. So you have been very, very loud on user voice, on Connect, on Twitter, on email, about a certain few things that you wanted. So let's take a look. So here I have a JavaScript file. Now immediately, you can see that something here is different, right? No. One of the highest voted features voted by you guys was document outline. You wanted to see what's going on. I want to see a document outline of all my functions. So now we actually have up here navigational dropdowns that shows everything, like in C#. So sorry that it took so long. I hope you're going to enjoy it. We have other stuff as well. So because it's 2013, we now have IE11 out there, and we have upgraded our IntelliSense in Visual Studio to reflect that. So that means that we can now take advantage of some ECMAScript 6 capabilities. So that means that I can now do a constant. The whole concept of a constant is something we know from C# and Visual Basic. And it now also works in JavaScript. So let's just create a constant here. What's different about a constant is that, just like in C#, you cannot reassign a value to it. So if I try to do that, I actually get an error. Right? It's pretty smart. So you don't only get the const keyword, you get other ECMAScript 6 as well. So we're really trying to take this to the next level. The experience is all about the modern web. So I hope that you're going to enjoy this new capabilities. Oops. All right. So I got this question, actually, quite a lot. Why can't we have regions in JavaScript? Actually, you've had regions for quite a while. Here's how to do it. And we can collapse it. Here we go. So you had this in 2012 in Web Essentials, and you have it here in 2013 in Web Essentials as well. Other stuff that we've implemented is identifier highlighting. So as my cursor is on one identifier, you see it highlights everywhere. So this started in Web Essentials. Now it's part of the 2013 natively in the JavaScript editor. And there's a lot of other details here. I'll skip that and move over to CSS. I don't think I've ever given a talk without spending a lot of time in CSS. This time I won't spend that much time, but I just want to highlight a few things. So here we have margin. Now, if you're like me, you see this, it has three values. So a margin kind of describes the margin of the box model, right? So the 20 pixels, is that top and bottom, or is it left, like, Which sides do these apply to? So we've now taken a little, given you a little aid here. If we invoke IntelliSense, we now show you the different ways you can actually write these things. And here I find the right one. So notice the syntax line, the first line. It actually holds the values that you already have entered. It's your values. And the second line shows you where in the box model these applies to. So that makes it really easy for you to find out how to do these things. So this is not only for margin, it's for padding, border radius. There is some new stuff kind of in the same way for fonts and backgrounds, these more complex and long shorthand properties. So all the stuff that we have been releasing after we released Visual Studio 2012, we've had in the web team, we've had a lot of releases. We had the web tools update, or whatever it's called, ASP.NET and web tools 1.1, which was October. We had a Visual Studio update 1 in November. We had in February. We had in March. We just had another Azure SDK that added new capabilities for website publishing as well. So we had a lot of releases. They're all rolled in to Visual Studio 2013, so you all have them in your preview. And that includes all the stuff that we added for the new web editors we have. So we have Less is now default in Visual Studio 2013. And you get the exact same behavior that you get in CSS. So you saw in the keynote was shown that you can, when you hover stuff, it will tell you like what browsers support what. Let me just address this question I got. Why is it that here on this WebKit that we show Opera supports WebKit? This is not a mistake. This is actually because Opera supports that specific WebKit vendor specific. So it took a long time for us to get all these things right. It was like a 6-month thing, and that's how we could do it. So you can actually trust this. This is actually pretty accurate. And we're going to revamp them all the time. As new browsers come out, as new versions are released, as new W3C standards emerge, you're going to see we're going to update that over time. You don't have to do anything. You're just going to get it pushed. Web Essentials will automatically go out and get all the latest stuff so you're always up to date here. So what about this one down here? Text emphasis position. Let's just move the mouse over here. Yeah, it's not really supported by anyone. And that's the way we implement CSS IntelliSense is that we do it by CSS module. So the W3C has broken up the CSS specification into modules. And I think we support around 40 modules. But not all browsers actually support every little detail of each of these modules. And here's an example of a property that is actually not supported by anyone. So that's a little bit confusing. So what we can do is that we can go up here, Control Q, and we can say CSS, Web Essentials. Here we go. And that was not the right one. Let's try it again. There we go, down here. So we can actually, am I at the right place? CSS? Yes. Let me scroll up. Here we go. Show unsupported is set to true. Unsupported means no one supports it, right? It's unsupported. You can't really use it. You can actually set this to false. And what it does is that it would now flag every time you try to use something that does not have any uptake yet in browsers. Okay? So you can kind of trim your IntelliSense and your validation to your needs and to the browser matrix that you will support. So this is Less, and we now have that natively in 2013. We also have CoffeeScript, and that's all pretty cool. Now, let's go over to one of the big items we have for you here, HTML. So the HTML editor that we had in 2012 was old. It was from the late 90s or something like that. Obviously, we had improved it over time, but there was a lot of native code in there. There was actually a lot of front page dependencies in it as well. So let's just say it was old. And it was time that we revamped it. It was time that we modernized it because the world is moving into HTML5. More and more stuff is moving onto the web. We have to make sure that we are on the very cutting edge of what's going on at all times. The old editor did not allow us to do that. There were limitations. But now we have a brand new HTML editor written from scratch, all managed code, fully extendable. And we can now do some pretty cool stuff. Let's write a footer. And in this footer, I want to write a copyright notice. So you know this goes like this, and now I have to insert that little copyright character, you know, the circle with the little C inside of it. But I forgot how to write that. Right? It's something about, I don't know, it's something ampersand and then something, and then semicolon. It's what is called an HTML entity. So what I do normally is I just go to a search engine, I search for it. I will say, like, copyright character HTML, and I'll search for it, and I'll copy it from there. But I do know that it starts with an ampersand. So let's see what happens if I type an ampersand. Look at this. With preview as well. Nice little detail. All right. So we've done some other stuff. In HTML5, any attribute that starts with data dash is valid. Okay? So it's really useful if you want to store metadata about your DOM elements. For instance, if you want to do client-side templating or whatever it is that you want to do, maybe access some additional properties through JavaScript, you can store values in data dash attributes. And they can be whatever you want. So let's create one. Data dash foo. And let's give it the value of built. Now, I'm going to use this data dash foo somewhere else in my page. And I want to do that here in my p tag. So let's zoom in for a while here. So data dash, and you see foo now shows up. But so does the value. All right, so this is IntelliSense being even more intelligent and dynamic than before. You're going to see a lot more of this, not in preview, but in the final product, a lot more intelligent IntelliSense than what you're used to. This was not really possible before, but now we can finally do this. So here's another thing we could not do before. Let me just drag this image onto here. So one of the things that we've had in Web Essentials for 2012 is in CSS we could hover any image and it will, or any image reference, and it will show the image. We can now do the same thing in HTML. I just hover the mouse and now we can see what's going on. But we didn't stop there, because we can now actually access the image. We can now very easily find the image on disk. That means that we have metadata about the image. So we've introduced smart tags. We did have smart tags in 2012 for web forms, but we never had it for static HTML and Razor. But now we do. And let me just invoke this smart tag. You can see it kind of shows up right here. So you can say insert width and height attribute. And we actually went on disk, figured out what the width and height is, and inserted it for you. And of course, you can Base64 inline the image as well, like this. Just like in CSS, this is now the scenarios that are made possible by this new editor. What I just showed you actually also works on remote images. So if your image is pointing to some, you know, HTTP, example.com, whatever, .png, you can do the exact same thing. We download the resource and do all these things. So really, really cool. Here's one I wrote. I think it took me probably 10 minutes to write this one. Convert to figure. So a figure is an HTML5 thing. And in 10 minutes, I was able to write this smart tag. It is that easy. We're going to look more at extensibility a little later. All right, so let's write a little menu here. I'm going to have a section tag. Inside that, I want a div. And then I want 5 LIs with 3 letters of lorem ipsum, tab. Okay, I keep tabbing, shift tabbing, and go back up. So this is send coding. You saw this earlier. Now, something is wrong here. I don't want the first line where it says lorem ipsum. That should actually not be on top. It shouldn't be the first item. I want that to go down to number 3. So I hold down Alt and use the arrow keys up and down, and I can move an entire line very, very easily. This is not just in HTML. This is editor-wide in Visual Studio 2013. Any text editor, be it C#, XML, or whatnot, you can move lines by Alt and then up and down. but I see here I'm using a div. That was wrong. I should have used a nav, HTML5 nav. This is a menu, after all, so let's just change this. So we've had this in 2012, but let me just show you again here. As I type in the beginning, the start tag, look what happens in the end tag. It just follows along. I can type in the closing tag here, and the start tag follows along. That's going to save a lot of time. But I still have this green error right here showing up because, of course, I forgot the UL element, right? So how would I add a UL element? Well, I could do it manually and wrap my LIs in a UL element, or I could use some of the snippet capabilities that we've always had, which is surround with. So let me just right-click, surround with HTML UL. Let's do this. That was not really what I wanted. I actually inserted an additional LI here. So let's do something else instead. Let's hold down Alt and hit 1, the 1 key. And I'm going to keep hitting the 1 key here. See what's happening? We now have the ability to expand selection up through the tree. I can do Alt 2, and we walk back down again. I don't have to touch the mouse for any of this stuff anymore. And it goes all the way back to where I started. So now it's really easy. I just do Alt 1, 1, select my LIs, and now I want to do surround with. So the Alt key is your new best friend. It does a lot of things these days. So let's do Alt Shift W, surround with. How cool is that? So so the mouse becomes less important. We just stay in the editor. We are happy. We're productive. It's all good. Except that now I realize that this section tag, I don't actually want to wrap my navigation inside the section tag, so let's just remove the section tag. I could do it the old way, or I could do it the new way. Control Enter, because there's a smart tag showing up here. It says remove and keep children. There you go. So how does this thing work? Let's write some text. Now I select this text, and I want to do surround with Alt-Shift-W. And I can just change it as I see fit. Whatever I select is what's going to be surrounded. If I do not select anything, for instance, if my cursor is in the start tag or it's in the middle of the tag, it will surround whatever tag the cursor is in. So if I do Alt-Shift-W again, it will go out here, and let's do a div. So this is not exactly what I wanted. I wanted it to be formatted maybe a little bit differently. We've done a huge effort in actually improving the formatter to respect what it is you want to do. When you say format document in 2013, we don't break your page. We don't do weird things. We don't wrap everything anymore. You can now trust it, and you can use it. I've been using this for over a month, and it is fantastic. So I want to just format the selection here of my div. And I do that, Control-KF, that's format selection, Control-KF. And my cursor is in the div. When I do format selection, it takes the element I'm on and all its children and formats those. But it doesn't touch the rest of the document. So Control-KF, and we get here, right? So this is the command we had always. Now it actually works. But what if I forgot those keyboard shortcuts? That happens all the time. We can't remember them all. There's a billion shortcuts in Visual Studio. So let's just try to speak to Visual Studio and see if it wants to listen and help us out. So very recently, we updated something called voice commands for Visual Studio to run and also in 2013. So let's try it out. So I'm going to hit Alt-V, V for voice. And let's see if it works here with the speakers. There is a little bit of echo, so let's hope it works. So Alt-V. And notice the status bar here. I'm going to zoom in later, but you can kind of see what's going on, perhaps. Format document. Yes. Options. Error list. Oh, you were clapping. You couldn't hear it. Error list. But look what it actually does. It writes the actual keyboard shortcut that we did not remember. So now it can help us learn these things. See? So this is available in the gallery. It's a free download. It's really fun to play around with. And it just uses the built-in speech recognition system in Windows, so it's actually pretty accurate. And if you, just like me, have a weird accent in English, you can always train the Windows speech recognition engine. It's all built into Windows. There's nothing fancy going on, even though the technology is amazing. All right. Let's take a look at one of the items that you have been asking for a long time. We saw Hanselman was showing Ember, JS, handlebars, mustache, those things. One of the most voted for items by you guys is Angular, AngularJS. So it's really cool now that we finally have full Angular IntelliSense in our app like this. And as I type, let's see here, notice what we do with some of these attributes. We collapse them. Remember 2012? We had aria dash attributes, and we had 30 of them. They were kind of cluttering the IntelliSense list. So now we group them together, and we do the same with our Angular support. So ng is kind of hidden like this until you open it up. So let's do controller. Let's just call it Mats here. And of course, inside of it, I can just write my template language using this double curly brace syntax. So let's do that. You see here how we automatically brace complete. So we close. We will close these things for you. So, you know, foo, right? Nice syntax highlighting for all of these different templating languages. So mustache, handlebars, JS render, Angular. I'm sure there's more, but we got them all, okay? So we were sitting actually in the speaker briefing Tuesday, and we were just chatting with so it was me and Brady Gaster and Damian Edwards. I don't know if you know those guys, but we were sitting there and saying, hey, this is pretty cool, but let's see if we can do even more with Angular, because it's fine that we have IntelliSense, but what if we could kind of help generate some stuff, generate some JavaScript perhaps? So, because this is the new, brand new HTML editor, we have capabilities with extensibility that we didn't have before. So in literally minutes, we were able to write a very simple extension that looks for any element that has ng-controller on it and adds a smart tag. So we see we have a smart tag on the div here. If we open it up, it says add new Angular controller. So let's click this guy. And you see here automatically, it figured out that the value of that attribute was Mats, so it suggests that name. Let's put it in the scripts folder and click save. And it already exists. That's okay. And here we go. And you see here it actually modified these things. So this is just a little prototype we've been playing around with. We added it to Web Essential, actually. So you can play around with it as well. But these are the new capabilities that you can start to expect coming from us. The merging between all the different editors, CSS, JavaScript, less HTML. We can blend everything together. And that's what the new HTML editor actually allows us to do. But wait, there's more. RDF Lite module for HTML5 probably doesn't ring a bell. But this is what Open Graph uses. So Facebook has spearheaded it, the Open Graph protocol and the Open Graph standard. And it uses this module for HTML5 to store data that works really well with Open Graph. So we have new capabilities here. So in the preview that you've got, you actually don't have this. So I'm just going to show you. I have a very new build of Visual Studio, because I'm going to show you some stuff a little bit later that you don't have either. But that's going to be really fun. So let me just show you what you can expect in terms of environment integration and social network integration. So we now have a prefix attribute. This is completely valid, by the way. You can run it through the W3C validator, and it validates just fine. And we give you IntelliSense for some Facebook-specific stuff, Open Graph-specific stuff, and probably more in the months to come. So let's just take the Open Graph one. Now, so this RDF specification also adds another property called property. It's kind of confusing, but we have a property called property. And look at this. We give you full IntelliSense for the entire open graph, or at least the most used ones, directly within Visual Studio. You don't have to go look online anymore. You just have it right here. Stay happy, stay productive, stay inside Visual Studio. So we have a title. That's a good one. And here's basically what you do. So this title is demo, right? So this is a way we can kind of control what happens when people link our website, likes it on Facebook or sends a link over Facebook. We can now control the title, we can control images, descriptions, all those sort of things can be controlled by the website owner instead of leaving it into the hands of the people actually sharing it. And we can do the same with Twitter. So you've completely covered in terms of Twitter cards. So those are the social network integration stuff that's really, really cool, and it's going to be really easy for you guys. Of course, we also have like the Windows and Windows Phone integration. So let's do another one, Meta name. We have all the MS stuff for controlling what happens when you save your URL to the start screen of Windows. We can kind of control what color should the tile be, should there be an image, all those things. You get full IntelliSense for that. And of course, you get the same thing if you're targeting iOS. So this is now just all in the box, makes it really, really easy. I actually think you have that already. In the preview, you have all the iOS stuff and the MS stuff. I could be mistaken. Okay. So that was HTML. So I'm actually really proud of this one. It's going to be a huge, huge change in the way we're going to write websites, because everything can be flown together from different editors, from JavaScript, CSS, and HTML. So you're going to see IntelliSense as well going to flow over. We're actually working right now on adding full IntelliSense for all CSS IDs and class names directly within HTML. You don't have to do anything. They just show up. Right? So expect more of that very, very rich IntelliSense that crosses boundaries between these editors now. Okay. So that was the first half. So browser link. You've seen this demoed. You've seen the refresh browser demo. So let's actually take a little deep dive into this. We have today a paradigm that we've had for as long as we have been building websites. And the paradigm is very simple. We have our text editor on one side, and we have our browsers on the other side. We use them every day. But the thing is, the browser does not know Visual Studio. Visual Studio does not know browsers. The browser just knows that when it hits a URL, it gets returned some content. That's all it knows. It doesn't know what the server side is. Is it ASP.NET, PHP, or so on? It has no idea. Visual Studio doesn't even know that the browsers are there either. Right? There's some server in between that does some stuff, but your IDE, where you're writing all your apps, knows nothing about the actual run website, which is kind of interesting, given that it's 2013 and we've been building websites for a long time now. It's almost as if there's this virtual wall between the two. Very rich ecosystems on both sides. There's extensions, there are a lot of libraries, there's a lot of cool stuff on both sides, yet they don't talk to each other. There is no communication. They don't even know about each other. So what we want to do is to break the barrier and combine the two ecosystems. That's the dream. And what we've done in Browser Link is to try to achieve that dream. So Browser Link is a bidirectional communication channel based completely on open standards. There's no proprietary stuff going on here. It's just open standards. It's WebSockets and it's JavaScript. That's all it is. And it's powered by SignalR and the ASP.NET runtime. Okay? So what actually happens is that Visual Studio hosts a WebSocket endpoint that is accessible from all your browsers on your dev box. And that creates that open tunnel of communication. Whatever we do in the browsers can be relayed back to Visual Studio and vice versa. And this opens up for some really cool scenarios. What you have seen so far was the proof of concept in the refresh browser scenario. So let's take a look at some other scenarios. Okay, here we go. So as I told you, I have a newer build of Visual Studio. So I have actually some new capabilities that I'm afraid that you don't have yet, but of course you will get them. So here I have a Visual Studio extension. And let me just run this. This is actually the browser link extension, or Artery was the code name. So let's just open up a website here. And let's run this. The fonts are very low over here. There we go. Okay, we have Chrome showing up. We have IE showing up. Whoop. Here we go. And we have an iPhone emulator. There we go. And we snap to the side. So what you've seen so far is that as soon as I open up my browsers, Visual Studio and the browser starts connecting over the wire. And the best way to illustrate that is basically to look at this little icon up here. You see, this looks like the Internet Explorer refresh icon. And that's because it's a browser refresh. But here we can see we have three browsers. Internet Explorer, Chrome, and Safari for iPhone are now connected. It also said something else. /. This means you're at the root of the website. This is the URL that these browsers are currently on. They're at the root of your website, /. Okay? And if I make a change down here, so build, let's say 2013, I can now just hit this button or hit Control-Alt-Enter. Did I do it right? What's going on? Come on. This is what happens when you bring new builds. Let's just really quickly do this. Let's close down for these. Let's build the project here. Let's relaunch. Now it at least says build 2013. Here we go. Okay. So let's get the iPhone up here again. Let's just rotate it. All right. So this is the scenario you've seen, right? So you make a change, you hit Control-Alt-Enter, and all your browsers update. So basically what happens is that we just simulate that you simultaneously in all your browsers click the update button, the refresh button. That is the prototype. This is the proof of concept to test whether or not we could get this communication channel to work. So that's all cool. But what's really interesting is what can we do beyond this? And I have a few extensions that I want to show you. What I really hope to do here is not to show you what we're going to do. I don't know if you're going to do any of the stuff I'm going to show you. I want to inspire you to see what's possible, and then you dream up stuff. To write extensions for this is the easiest thing in the world. One JavaScript file, one C# class. That's it. Okay? So let's take a look at a feature that takes advantage of the channel going from, or the communication going from browser and into Visual Studio. So this browser refresh, we're going from Visual Studio and into the browsers. Now let's reverse that and see what we can do. One thing that we have never been able to do is to statically analyze your website within Visual Studio, because everything that you do in the editors are server-side. Okay? we don't know what the actual rendered output is going to be. We cannot analyze us to figure that out, because you might be using some controls, you might be using a lot of C# that generates HTML. We don't know until we run your site. We have never had a way to run your site in the way that we have now. So now we can just have JavaScript running in the browser, analyzing everything that JavaScript can analyze, and feed that information back into Visual Studio. And that allows us to do some pretty cool stuff. So these are now running. We're all connected here. All three browsers are connected. And if I go into my error list, you can see that we already can see a few messages here. We can now test for search engine optimization errors, mobile website errors, and so on. And because this is just me writing an extension, I can do whatever I want with these errors. Normally, when you click an error, it takes you to some line in some code file, right? It doesn't have to be like that. Let me just close this file. If I double-click this first error saying, specify the page description using a meta tag. I'm missing a meta tag here, it says. I'm just going to double-click this. And it says, do you want to insert a description meta tag? Yes, please. And here we go. It now inserted the meta tag for me. It was able to find the right file and insert it for me. I didn't have to specify that this was my layout page. All that information is actually captured within browser link. So any of you guys that want to write extensions, you have this information. And the same goes with the viewport meta tag. Double click. Hey, do you want to insert the viewport meta tag? Yes, please. Here we go. So we no longer have to deal with these things where we, after we build our website, go to, for instance, webdevchecklist.com. That was the thing I had running up here before we started. To run through all the best practices. Now we can bring that in and do it just as you want to, when you would develop your website as you normally would. We can start to help you out with these things. Hopefully that will increase the quality of your website significantly because it becomes a natural thing. And finally, it has a problem with robots.txt. Let's click that. Do you want to add a robots.txt file? Yes, please. And here we go. And it lays it down in my project. Super, super simple, but really, really powerful. Think of what you can do with this information. Actually, to figure out whether or not robots.txt exists, the JavaScript part of my extension makes an AJAX request. And that means if we can do AJAX requests, we can also call other services. We can call outside our application. We can call to W3C validators, accessibility validators, performance validators, and so on, like PageSpeed and YSlow. Whatever you can dream up, you can transfer back into Visual Studio and have Visual Studio react to it to improve your website. Very, very cool stuff. So that was the example of going from the browser and into Visual Studio. Now let's reverse that. So let me open a CSS file. So here I have some CSS. And I'm now going to uncomment this comment I have right here. Control K U. And I'm going to hit save. Let's do that again. Let's change this color to red. I'm going to click save. Notice how fast this was. We're not reloading the page. We're just reloading the style sheets. Pretty cool, huh? So, going from browser to VS, going from VS to browser. Can we broaden the scope a little bit? What if we have a browser extension? Which I happen to have. Let's take a look at this. So here's Chrome. Actually, let's just go back to the white one here. So here I have Chrome, and I have an extension. My little Chrome extension looks for whether or not browser link is currently running on the website I'm visiting. And if so, it shows that little Visual Studio logo there in the address bar. Okay. If I click it, do that all the time, I can now see what are the source files currently making up my page. So here's my index CSHTML, my layout files, and my partials. And if I click one of them, it opens in Visual Studio. Can you imagine what you can do with this sort of behavior? What if we can put save buttons into F12 tools and developer tools? You make a little change, you just hit a save button, and your saves or your changes are applied back into Visual Studio. Just to name one. Okay? It's a pretty big perspective here. Okay. So let's actually move this over here. Let's rotate this guy like this. Let's do this. All right, so let's do a fourth one. This is, again, another way of looking at how we can use this. So I'm developing my website. I have three browsers open. I have one browser that is currently the active one, which in this case is the iPhone emulator here. Let me just scroll down to the bottom. I'm now working on this part of my website. And I want to see what it looks like in my other browsers. So I could go into my other browsers and scroll down and all that stuff. But I'm going to reuse the same keyboard shortcut here that we use for browser refresh, Control Alt Enter. So I'm going to hit that key, and I'm in the browser. We synchronize, in this case, by scrolling. Let me just navigate away here. I do it again, Control Alt Enter, and they all navigate to the same location. Now, what if I type in one of the browsers? So this extension basically just shows you how to go from browser to browser. We only use the Visual Studio in this case just to channel the messages back and forth to the clients. Visual Studio actually does not do anything but act as a relay and actually act as a wrapper around SignalR. Now, because this is SignalR, it also means that browser link works in more or less all the browsers in the world, even the ones that does not support WebSockets. WebSockets is the preferred way. But if you have an older browser or you run on an operating system, for instance, Windows 7, that does not have WebSockets, it just falls back to server send events, to long polling, to forever frame, all the way down to the oldest browser you can think of. So this just works. You don't have to worry about it. When you write extensions for this, we guarantee jQuery is there. You don't have to ship jQuery. It's there. The web site you're using does not have to use jQuery. When you write your extension, jQuery is there. Okay? Makes it really, really easy. Full intelligence for all the objects and so on. I don't want to show you the API right now because it's very new and it doesn't look that good, to be honest. But it is super simple. We're working on it right now and it's starting to look really, really cool. So, browser link is on by default. When you open a website in 2013, we are on by default. And that is because if we open webconfig, by default we're set to debug equals true. As soon as you flick the switch and go into release mode, debug equals false, we're off. Okay? We no longer run. You can control that. You can say, hey, I want to run even though I'm in release mode. So for that, you can just add a key here called vs:enable browser link. Set the value to true. If you always want it to be on, regardless of debug or release mode, or false, if you always want it to be off for this project. If you want it just to be off, because you don't want to deal with this stuff, just go up here, enable browser link, and this is the global switch. All right, so you are in complete control here. We don't try to, even though it's on by default, we don't try to kind of force it on you. Just disable it if you don't want it. It's fine. And we do inject some JavaScript. So let's do this. Let's see here. We do inject a little bit of JavaScript here at the bottom. In the preview bits that you have, I don't know if you saw what it looks like in your build. Basically, what it's not valid, so you get an error in if you try to validate it on W3C validator. It does not work that well if you try to run it through Google PageSpeed or Yahoo's YSlow performance analysis tools. That has all been fixed, so don't worry. It's a prototype. It's a proof of concept that we have in preview. This is what it looks like right now. It's completely valid. It does not do anything harmful in terms of performance, right? It's all minified. It's all gzip. It's even deferred loaded here by the async attribute. So we do not mess with your flow, with the page rendering and so on. So it's really just keeping in the background. You don't have to worry about it. So this is what's to come. All right. I do want to do one more thing. Because we have kind of been using Web Essentials quite a lot here at Build. And I've been working very hard on actually moving it from 2012 and over to 2013. And last night I was done. I made the final changes this morning. So I did upload it, and I think it is somewhere in here. So here it is, Web Essentials 2013 preview. It is preview, okay? It is not, I'm still kind of testing everything, but it looks okay. I haven't run into any trouble yet, so keep that in mind. So let's publish this baby, shall we? Here we go. You might have noticed, those of you who've used Web Essentials, that I've kind of slowed down a little bit over the past 2 months, 3 months maybe. That's because I've simply just had so much to do with getting ready for build, getting the preview out the door, all these things. And it's kind of annoying that I've become the bottleneck. That's because I'm the only developer on this project. I am the bottleneck. That's not good. What would be better is that if we can remove that constraint and, for instance, make everyone an editor on this. So here I have the repo. It's on GitHub. It's private. Let's make it public, shall we? There we go. Pull requests are welcome. So you're going to see a lot of new features being rolled in right now. Remember, this is new. I actually had to turn off a lot of features and remove a lot of code because we have rolled in so much of what was in Web Essentials 2012 into the actual Visual Studio 2013 product that it's now a much smaller project than it was in 2012. So hopefully it's not going to be that overwhelming to kind of look at, but it is a kind of a huge project. What we're going to do and what you're going to see from us coming out shortly is a new way of writing extensions. So we're a couple of guys in the web team and in the Visual Studio core team that's kind of working on, see if we can improve the experience when you're writing extensions, because it's not maybe that easy today. So let me just tell you right now that it will be so easy to contribute to Web Essentials, get your features in there. Who knows, maybe fix some of my bugs or add unit tests that I have zero off. That's going to be so easy. So just stay tuned. We're going to have a great story coming for you guys. All right, demo, we did that. So that was an echo. Twitter, you can reach me on Twitter I will keep you posted with all the news related to browser link, to the web tools, to Visual Studio. You're going to see a lot of blogs coming on all the details, especially around the Web Essentials. And also go to our team blog. So blogs.msdn.com/webdev. There's already a lot of content up there showing what's new and what's really cool. Go to vswebessentials.com. There will be, very shortly after I'm done here, a link to go download the extension. Of course, right now, since it's already public, you can just go to Visual Studio 2013, go to Tools, Extension and Updates, search for Web Essentials, and it's going to be there. Right? And finally, the GitHub address to where we have the project. So please feel free to send as many pull requests as possible. And with that, I think we have 4 minutes left for questions. So if you've got any, if you can reach a microphone, that would be preferred. Otherwise, just raise your hand and I will repeat the question. The question is browser link connected to the web debugging situation? Yeah, there is no, they're not connected in any way. If you try to debug in JavaScript, for instance, through Visual Studio, you will see that we have this new injected JavaScript, just as if you would add your own JavaScript. So it changes things a little bit, but no, they're not connected. We have one here. The question is, does the mobile emulators that I showed here, do they come with Visual Studio? And what type of devices are out there? No, they do not ship with Visual Studio. You have to go download them. A lot of them have free trials. Some of them you have to pay for. And some of them we do provide, like the Windows Phone emulator, obviously. So I actually purchased this one, so I get the full experience. They're all very cheap, if not free. So they're out there, Opera Mobile and so on. We had one over here somewhere? Yep. Can browser link be used to other remote machines? That's actually one of the things that we've been looking at, because wouldn't it be cool if I could take my phone and punch in my dev box machine name and kind of browse around and see what it looks like on an actual device? So we actually had a prototype we got it working. The problem is we have to punch through firewalls. If you're in an enterprise with group policy, maybe not. Right? It can't be. There are difficulties. So it's totally possible, but we've actually limited it. So you can't. The request has to come from the same machine until we figure this out. Yep. I'll get back to you. Yep. The CSS editor was showing live updates. Does it like the browser icons and all that? Oh, the live. Yes. So the question is, when I save the CSS file, change the background color to red, and we push it out to the browsers, does that work for less files? It absolutely does. Yes, sir. So the question is, now that we have an IntelliSense for Angular and some of these other libraries, do we have for Knockout? We absolutely do. That was introduced in Visual Studio Update 2 for 2012. However, it is not moved into the preview build that you have. So it will be there in the final build. You will have the full IntelliSense. And the IntelliSense we have for Knockout is incredible. It will actually get you IntelliSense for all your data binding expressions, reading from your objects in the JavaScript. It's nuts. I am now over. No. 1 minute. Yes, sir. Can you write your own IntelliSense? You absolutely can. If you want to write IntelliSense for JavaScript, it's actually written in JavaScript. The JavaScript editor is the only one where the way you write IntelliSense and augment that and improve it is through JavaScript. There's a full MSDN articles on it. I don't remember the URL, but if you search for it, I'm sure you can find it. IntelliSense for HTML, CSS, and so on. I do that in Web Essentials. Go look at the code. You can see exactly how to do it. Yes, sir. Final one. How come I'm the only developer on Web Essentials? It's just I got to have something to do at night, you know. But that also explains why sometimes you get errors and there's no unit tests. I mean, so, yeah. But luckily, no more. I won't have to be the only developer. All you guys are going to help me out, right? All right, guys. This now is 60 minutes. So thank you very much.